Our scripture reading this evening continues Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 27 through chapter 2, verse 18. Listen now for God's word to us. Paul says, "Most important, live together in a manner worthy of Christ's gospel. Do this whether I come and see you or I'm absent and hear about you. Do this so that you stand firm, united in one spirit and mind as you struggle together to remain faithful to the gospel. That way, you won't be afraid of anything your enemies do. Your faithfulness and courage are a sign of their coming destruction and your salvation, which is from God. God has generously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but also of suffering for Christ's sake. You are having the same struggle that you saw me face and now hear that I am still facing. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in love, any sharing in the Spirit, any sympathy, complete my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, being united, and agreeing with each other. Don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility, think of others as better than yourselves. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others. Adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God something to exploit. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a slave and by becoming like human beings. When he found himself in the form of a human, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly honored him and gave him a name above all names, so that at the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven, on earth, and under the earth might bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my loved ones, just as you always obey me, not just when I am present, but now even more while I am away, carry out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God is the one who enables you both to want and to actually live out his good purposes. Do everything without grumbling and arguing so that you may be blameless and pure, innocent children of God surrounded by people who are crooked and corrupt. Among these people, you shine like stars in the world because you hold on to the word of life. This will allow me to say on the day of Christ that I haven't run for nothing or worked for nothing. But even if I am poured out like a drink offering upon the altar of service for your faith, I am glad. I am glad with all of you. You should be glad about this in the same way. Be glad with me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I remember when I was little, well, not terribly little, because this is post-divorce, pre-moving to Detroit. So that's, 1994. So I was 8, 9 years old. There's a TV show called Grace Under Fire. My mom loved that show because it was, Grace was the main character, and she was a single mom of 3 kids. Gee, whose family did that sound like? Anyway, but it helped that Grace's love interest was played by Alan Autry, who you probably more know as Bubba from In the Heat of the Night. But anyway, it was dealing with her struggles, and mom could relate with that, and because mom was in charge of what was on TV, well, that's what we watched. Anyway, now think about Grace Under Fire. Grace Under Pressure. Of course, it was a play on a phrase, Grace Under Fire, her name being Grace and her being under the pressures of being a single mom. But we think about Paul and his admonishment, of which could be wrapped up in Grace Under Pressure or Grace Under Fire. In this part of his letter to the Philippians, he reminds the faithful in Philippi that, yes, he's sitting in jail, prison. And yes, he cannot be with them right this minute, but they should continue to do all things the way Christ would have them do. That includes a good dose of joyful humility. I have a problem with humility, mostly because we get humility and humiliation confused sometimes, right? We don't want to humiliate someone. We don't like to be humiliated ourselves. It's not the most pleasant feeling when we've been picked on and humiliated and made to feel no bigger than the speck of dust on the back of a flea, but there it is. But humility is something entirely different. Joyful humility is that remembering someone before yourself. One of my colleagues writes that humility encourages us to serve one another and maintain unity in the face of hardship. Serve one another and maintain unity in the face of hardship. When Paul was writing to the Philippians, there was hardship all around. Paul was in prison, and the Philippians were trying to figure out how to do this new thing called Christianity. And they were kind of by themselves. And as we've learned in what we've already read in chapter 1 of Philippians, it was being joyful about things. This is the going gets tough and the tough keep going, and that's fine, but it was being excited for knowing each other in Christ and being thankful for the opportunity to pray for one another and being overwhelmed with gratitude for being able to reach out and be connected with one another. Paul admonishes the people in Philippi to continue to serve one another and serve God, and to put another's needs before their own. We struggle with that today. Society would have us believe that it's more important to put me first, right? Society would have us believe that it's all about me and my needs and how fast I can get ahead, while practicing the humility that Christ encourages, that Christ taught, and that Christ lived, is I put you first. And I'm happy about it, is that we put each other first, that we do not look inward but look outward. That when things get going tough, not only for ourselves, but also for our neighbors, we walk with them in that time, right? When Paul reminds, he says, don't do anything for selfish purposes. Don't do things to polish our own star, right? We don't do things to say, this is see me, see what I did, pat me on the back, right? But with humility, think of others as better than yourselves. And he puts the example out as Jesus. He says, adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God something to exploit. Paul's not saying that Jesus denied his full divinity, right? The Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, right? Fully human, fully divine. Being of God, right? Fully human, fully divine. He was both. But he did not exploit that. He didn't run around. Jesus did not run around going, I'm the Son of God, I am God incarnate, therefore I am better than the rest of you. No. No. Jesus paid the ultimate price. And as if death wasn't bad enough, he suffered death on a cross. Which I'm no expert in Roman forms of execution, but I have to believe that death on a cross has to be about the worst way to go. I mean, what's better than death on a cross? I know, the lion's den. You know, ooh, I know, be out there like the gladiators and let the lions get at you. No, death on a cross is terrifying. It took forever. You think about the Good Friday scriptures and the stories we know about Good Friday. It took him 3 hours to die. Why? Because he was strangling. He didn't die of blood loss. He died because he couldn't breathe. the Son of God, God incarnate, fully God, fully human, who did not exploit that he was God, who did not exploit and go, I'm the Son of God, you must listen to me because I am better than you. He didn't say that. No, he died the most horrific death of his time. Why? Because we're worth it. Because he thought we were worth it. What Paul's telling the Philippians, and it still holds true for us today, is that we too need to remember that we're worth that kind of sacrifice. And consequently, have the same point of mind. Have the same frame of mind. It's not about me. None of this is about me. Helping you is not about me. Helping my neighbor is not about me. Helping someone in need, walking with them in their time of trial is about them. And more importantly, about God's work in their life. On Wednesday mornings, when I pray with the pantry volunteers before pantry starts, before we unlock the door and let the clients in, you know, I remind us in prayer, but it's that call on God, help us be mindful of the God light shining in each one of our clients. Help us to remember that it could be you walking through the door, and help us afford the respect due to the God light shining in each one of our clients. Why? Because it's not about us. It's about them, and more importantly, it's about what God does in their life. When you put on joyful humility, you don't get all in the doldrums because the tough gets going. You know, the going gets tough, right? No. We keep on keeping on. And when we see our neighbor going through a rough time, we walk alongside them. You talk about empathy. Empathy is being able to suffer with someone. Truly an empathetic person is someone who can walk alongside and say, I recognize your pain. I'm not here to fix it. I'm here to walk with you through it, right? The difference between empathy and sympathy, right? Sympathy is feeling sorry for someone. I'm so sorry for your loss. Empathy is, I feel your pain at your loss. I feel your pain at the struggle you're going through. I have not experienced the same struggle, but I have struggles of my own, and I can walk with you through this pain. Humility sounds like humble, right? We need to be humble about it because it's not about us. And we get trapped in that sinful nature. Society teaches us this. It's all about self-gratification, right? Self-satisfaction, self-enrichment, self-centeredness. Is our center supposed to be inward or is our center supposed to be outward? Looking toward the cross on which he died for us. If we read the scriptures and if we truly remember what we've been taught all these years, we need to take on the attitude of Christ, who is willing to suffer death, yes, even death on a cross. He was fully God. He knew it. He knew he was fully God. He knew he was the second person of the Trinity. Fully human, fully divine. And yet he ate with sinners, and he healed the sick, and he, oh my God, worked on the Sabbath, which was a huge no-no in those days. And he did it because he cared. And he did it because God loved God's creation so much that he sent his only begotten Son. I think we owe it back to our Creator to put his people first. I love this line in here. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, innocent children of God, surrounded by people who are crooked and corrupt. And here's the part that I love. Among these people, you will shine like stars in the world because you hold on to the word of life. You have the light in you. Share it. Be humble and practice humility enough to not hold on to it for yourself. It's wonderful to claim that you are saved, but it's like Granny always said, actions speak louder than words. Your actions have to show that you are a beacon of God's life in this world. And it's not easy. It is not easy when you are surrounded by voices that are telling you to do the opposite. But we hold fast to the truth we know, right? And the truth we know is this, that he died for us. And more than that, he rose again for us. And that he loves us with a love that knows no bounds. And he gave us that greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. So in a few moments of silence, I'll give you a few minutes to think about the ways that you might practice joyful humility, and the ways that maybe you can turn from inward looking to outward sharing.